And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Good to have Ursula back.
I'm happy to be back.
This has been a big debate that my wife and I have had for a long, long time. Because I really enjoy cruising.
I do, too.
And we had that great cruise with the listeners several weeks ago in the Mediterranean. And I don't know, we've probably done eight or nine cruises. And my wife has, for a long time, said, let's go to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you just did.
Yes.
And it sounds like a nightmare to me.
No.
Okay.
It is a beautiful experience. And I know people who have gone on this particular cruise, you know, two or three times and they want to go more. They can't see enough.
Yeah.
And what I told you was, it was beautiful. I'm glad I did it. I really kind of more did it for my husband because I tend to like to go to warm places.
See, that's what I'm all about.
Yeah. And I like to if I can, you know, on the times when you are on the boat, you want to be able to, you know, lay out in the sun and all that kind of stuff. And there was none of that this time. Even though the weather was relatively good, it was 60s, but it was still kind of
right. You don't lay by
windy.
A pool
no.
when it's
no,
63
and it was kind of
degrees.
Windy, but incredible scenery. And so I think you have to do it once at least.
I do.
I think you need to do it once.
I don't think I do.
Well, you actually went fishing.
I went to Sitka. It's beautiful. I loved it.
But you know what? Here's the thing. And you and I have been married a long time, and sometimes you
two different people.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But we've both been married. Yes. We've both been married. And you can't always get your way.
Oh, believe me. Ursula, I learned that. I learned that starting on our second date, which was 36 years ago, I wasn't always going to get my way.
My husband has been much more patient. So in this case, I was like, you know what? I actually suggested, why don't we go to Alaska? Because I know that it was on his bucket list. He wanted to see it.
Oh, shoot. I think my wife does, too.
Yeah. So you need to do it.
Was there enough to do on the ship without?
Absolutely.
Those are the bigger ones.
Yeah. And I went on Princess Cruise, which I got to tell you, leaving here from Seattle.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
That part, that's the only part that sounds good to me, is not having to fly somewhere first.
I mean, I went from not having gone on a cruise for 20 years, and now I've gone on two, and I've got a third one like booked for a few months from now. So I'm on this roll, but the ability to leave from Seattle, that is huge.
I know. We need some Seattle departure embarkation cruises
to the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Well, they do have those. They just take about a month.
Okay. And that I would do. Go down, go through the Panama Canal.
Yeah, they have that.
And then, well, I don't want to fly home from Miami, though, because that's a long flight. So then
they do a really good job in the Seattle port. And
yeah.
Rent a car and drive back. See the country.
Oh, I hate long drives. Okay. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I would highly recommend it.
Did you see any Glazier's calve?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
You literally saw it calving?
A bunch of times. Yeah, like three or four. And it's a loud crack. And then big fat splash. Yes.
Yeah. Isn't there?
We went on a catamaran. So out of Juneau, we went on a 9-hour catamaran excursion, which was, okay, I know you're going to say, oh, that sounds horrible. Amazing. And you meet wonderful people. and you get to go right up close to the glaciers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is an incredible sight.
Yeah.
It is an incredible sight. We saw a humpback whale, gray whale. We saw seals on a chunk of ice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you want to see these before they all melt.
Yeah.
And which cities did you see? Did you get off the ship?
Yes. So Juneau, Skagway. I did not. I stayed on the boat at Ketchikan. It was just a short little trip. My husband left and wanted to see the salmon run.
Spent a summer in Ketchikan once.
Did you really?
Yeah, when I was four.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was awful. It was just awful.
Well, that's a cute little touristy town.
No, I have one memory of Ketchikan.
What were you doing there for?
Oh, my dad lost his job here, so he went up to Ketchikan to work in a grocery store.
Oh, wow.
I have two memories of Ketchikan. One, there's a wooden boardwalk, or at least there was, a wooden boardwalk, and I saw hookers trying to pick up sailors.
They proudly display those signs. My husband took some pictures of signs. He said, you're not going to believe that these were, they're still up there. That's kind of part of the charm, apparently.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, that was like 1966, but I saw a hooker. And I somehow at age four, I knew they were hookers.
I know, how would you even
I don't know, but know. I knew it. And then the sailors got scared and started running away, and the hookers were screaming, chicken ass, chicken ass. And I got to observe that. So that's one memory. And then we went to a bar, and the...
Wait, at four, you went to a bar?
Yeah. It was Ketchikan.
Okay.
And the lounge singer sat me on top of the piano, and she played and sang Hello, Dory, to the tune Hello, Dolly. So those are my two memories of Ketchikan.
Okay. Now you definitely need to go back to Alaska.
I'll go fishing with Brock and Tom again. That's what I'll do.
No, you're going to make your wife happy and go on a cruise.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Okay, well, we're glad you're back. I'm glad you had a good time.
Thanks.
Okay, let's get to all the news we have here in the Fastest 15. Speaking of boat trips, a Washington State ferry worker is recovering after being bitten by a bat Saturday en route to their destination. It happened 8:30 a.m. on the Vashon Fauntleroy Southworth ferry. The female worker spotted an object lying on the car deck and picked it up. It turned out to be a live bat that bit her. And here's Q13 reporting on the ferry worker getting bit.
Well, a state ferry worker had to seek medical attention after a bizarre incident. Washington State Ferry says the worker was bitten by a bat. It says this happened yesterday morning on the Issaquah Ferry while it was on its way from West Seattle to Vashon Southworth. The worker picked up what she thought was garbage on the car deck. It turned out to be a bat, and it bit her.
She stuck it out until we could get relief to relieve her, so we were able to continue to sail. The bat was captured in a box by other ferry workers and then turned over to animal control alive, is how I understand it. And then our person was off the boat and sought medical attention.
So no doubt they're going to have to test this bat for rabies.
Oh, yeah.
And I just...
Disgusting.
Because I love the whole concept of bats. I love watching bats.
What do you love about it? Because I was going to say, I don't think of too many animals as ugly, but a bat is ugly.
At our old house, the house we had before this one, we had a lot of woods. And we would sit out on the deck, and at dusk, the bats would come out. And they are completely silent. In fact, they're
like flying rodents.
They're completely silent in flight. And then, you know what? Why they're flying around? They're getting, like, little mosquitoes or other flying insects, and they're eating them. And I swear we had this conversation about 2 years ago. And, Nicole, you didn't follow up on this.
No, we did. We talked to a bat guy.
Yes,
no, we didn't.
Did.
We talked to a bat guy?
I'm almost positive.
I think I said I wanted to talk to a bat guy. You found a bat expert?
I remember.
Can we talk to him again? I want to talk to him again.
Because they talk.
I need to have a discussion with a memory expert.
Yeah.
Well, believe me.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Yeah, we all know that. No, because I'm fascinated with the concept of echolocation.
Oh, yeah, because bats are blind.
They're blind as a bat. But they can, I mean, think about this. They're flying around at whatever speed they're going, and these little flying insects are flying around, and bats can send out a signal that bounces off that little tiny gnat. And then it bounces back to the bat's brain, and it registers a picture as clear as you and I have when we see something, maybe even clearer, and then the bat can go and eat that. And I'm fascinated. How can anybody think there's not a God when you understand that bats use echolocation to feed themselves as they're flying around? That didn't come out of some big ball of dust that exploded 4 billion years ago. That's God that created echolocation. Okay, yeah, let's get a bat expert on again.
I'd
remember that, Nicole. Next up in the...
Just in the middle of the interview, and Dory looking like, oh, wait, this does sound familiar.
Yeah, no, it won't. It wouldn't. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. So we did our Seahawks pre- and post-game last night. In between, the Seahawks played a game against the Vikings that they lost 25-19. Couple of injuries. Their rookie wide receiver, they're so excited about, DK Metcalf, he's going to have knee surgery tomorrow. Pete Carroll said it's minor. He might be able to come back pretty soon. Then, did you see the hit the backup quarterback Paxton Lynch took?
No.
He was trying to slide, and the defender was coming full bore at him, and it was the kind of hit the NFL is working to outlaw. But the crown of the defender's helmet hit Paxton Lynch right in the face mask. His head, it looked like Rock'em. You remember Rock'em Sock'em Robots? When you punch him in the head and go, and extend the neck out? That's what it looked like. And then his head blasted off the turf. And so he's in the concussion protocol. It looked as horrible. It turned out he was walking and talking to teammates after the game.
Other than concussion, did he have any other injury, like neck?
I thought it could have been a broken neck, but it wasn't. And he was talking, and he's in the concussion protocol now. But the big story that we were talking about, and I don't do a lot of sports stuff on this show, but something rather extraordinary happened. And I'll explain it to you because you probably haven't heard about this. The best wide receiver in the NFL is a guy named Antonio Brown. Mm. And he used to be with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they got rid of him because he was such a pain to deal with. So now he's gone to the Raiders. First year with the Raiders. 3 years, $50 million contract. So he wasn't able to practice the first couple of weeks because he got frostbite on his feet.
How'd that happen?
He went to a cryotherapy chamber and didn't have the proper footwear. And then they're doing a HBO series called Hard Knocks where they're embedded with the Raiders. And the skin on his feet is just peeling off. As he described it, it looks like his feet have gotten circumcised.
Okay.
Yeah. And so so that was at first. He had frostbitten feet. And then he said, I'm not going to play unless I can use my old helmet. And the NFL has said, everybody's got to use these helmets. They're safer. Mm-hmm. They reduce the chance of a concussion. And he has been boycotting and sitting out. And the team says, look, if we could let you wear your old helmet, we would let you. But it's not allowed. The NFL says, absolutely. And he says, well, my vision isn't as good. So now he won't come to camp with a 3-year, $50 million contract.
So do they have any recourse?
Well, the nuclear option is you send them a letter and say you got to report in 5 days or else... You sit out the whole season, we don't pay you, and you can't sign with any other team. But then he shows up, and he's just a nightmare to deal with. And so they don't know what to do. But I've never seen anything like this before. The general manager of the Raiders yesterday, I have never seen a sport general manager call out one of their own players. They usually try to handle all of this behind the scenes, and they don't let the media and the public get involved. But this is the general manager of the Raiders, Mike Mayock, calling out their highest paid wide receiver, Antonio Brown.
You all know that AB is not here today, right? So here's the bottom line. He's upset about the helmet issue. We have supported that. We appreciate that. Okay, but at this point, we've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief. So from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in or all out. Okay, so we're hoping he's back soon. We got 89 guys busting their tails. We are really excited about where this franchise is going, and we hope AB is going to be a big part of it starting week one against Denver. End of story. No question.
Okay, that's very unusual to have a GM call out one of their guys publicly like that. And then one other really fun story from the sports world. When you were on vacation last week, there was a guy. He was just a fan, 23-year-old guy. He was going to a baseball game. The Oakland A's were playing. And they have, for the fans, a cage with a radar gun set up. And you can go and you can throw a pitch, and it'll tell you how fast you can throw.
They have that here, too.
It's at Safeco. What's it called?
No,
it's
not Safeco. T-Mobile.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so this guy, he goes, rears back, fires a pitch. And most people, like, I have a weak arm. At my peak, I could maybe throw 70.
Maybe.
Because I always had a very weak arm, and I had to compensate for my arm when I was playing. This guy fires the ball 93 miles an hour.
Wow.
And they'd never seen that before in this fan pitch thing. So they immediately give him a contract.
Based on one pitch?
Yeah. Based on one 93-mile-an-hour pitch. The guy played in his first minor league baseball game yesterday.
Okay, he had to have some sort of accuracy, too. It's not just...
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was 96 miles an hour.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The one pitch. So that was at Coors Field. The Oakland A's saw that, signed him a contract. He had his first minor league game yesterday, Nathan Patterson. He'd played in high school, and then he was done. He said, yeah, I was done playing baseball. He was working in other fields, a software salesman. So he went in to the minor league game yesterday, faced three batters, struck out all three of them.
Are you serious?
So, that's a good little story there. All right.
So does he continue?
Oh, yeah. He's got a contract.
That's amazing.
Yeah. All right. And that is...
No, wait. So I'm getting a lot of feedback on this. So bats, I'm surprised you didn't know this.
You're getting a lot of feedback.
Yes. So bats are actually not blind. That's a myth. And you don't have to have good ears. Or, you know, you don't have to be blind to have good ears, as people have been saying. And it's totally a myth. Bats can see quite well. They just have good ears as well.
That's it?
There you go.
Well, you said that they were blind and people are...
It's not ears. Echolocation isn't about ears.
Well, it's about being able to see where they are. Where they are.
They're not using their eyes when they're flying around. They're using sonar. And that's amazing to me. And if we could get a bat expert on the show...
So our friend Jessamine, her mom is actually a bat expert. So she can... maybe we'll reach out to her.
Jessamine's mom is a bat expert.
She works for a state parks. Yep.
Wow.
Of New York.
But she specializes in bats?
I don't know.
For the state parks of New York?
Jessamine just said my mom's a bat expert. They're not blind.
They have decent night vision. Yes.
Yes.
Jessamine and her mom know what they're talking about.
Okay. Well, let's get Jessamine's mom on. Not today.
No.
We got a jam-packed show today. But I'd love to talk with Jessamine's mom.
Let's do it.
Okay, but can you vet her bat credentials first?
Okay.
I want to make sure Jessamine isn't pulling some kind of a fast one on us.
All right, deal.
Okay, all right. All right, and that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Coming up next, the president was busy this weekend. Are we really buying Greenland? That and more coming up next. Wait a second. Do we believe this text we got about bats? We got a million bat texts, by the way.
And what are they saying?
From the 206. Dory, wealthy people in the San Juans keep a bat behind their curtains so they can sleep with the windows open at night. Under the bat, they have paper doilies to catch the poop. Bats are easier than cats and dogs.
No way.
I don't believe that one. And we all know what bat poop is. You know what bat poop's called?
No.
Guano.
Oh, we knew that?
Yeah, I knew that.
Oh, well, gotcha.
Yeah, I had a friend who...
I can remember.
As of up until this afternoon, we thought bats were blind.
No, that was just us goofing around. But no, I had a friend in college who declared everything to be bat guano.
Ah,
and
okay.
That's when I learned that. So, okay,
Jessamine's mom will be on later this week.
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Can Jessamine's mom tell us if there are wealthy people in the San Juans who keep bats behind their curtains?
She might be able to. She's a biological environmentalist, and look at this picture of her with a bat.
That's Jessamine's mom with a bat?
Yep.
Jessamine and her mom look alike. They do. I'm looking at this from a long ways
away. She got her on with a bat on her shoulder or something.
Okay.
She's holding it with a blanket.
Okay, so we will have more bat talk a little bit later this week with Jessamine's mom.
That's a promo if I've ever heard one.
It's like a podcast out of someone's basement. I just realized that's exactly
what
we're
just having a conversation like.
We're going to get Jessamine's mom to talk about bats. It's like the worst podcast ever. Oh, man.
It's going to be the best.
Okay. Let's see what else is going on. Let's go out to the presidential campaign trail here. So, first of all, so as we told you about on Thursday and Friday, the Israeli-hating members of Congress, including Rashida Tlaib, they were going to go to Israel. And Israel said, no, we're not going to let you come here and just trash our country, just, you know, bad talk us, push for divestment and boycotts while you're in our country. So then Rashida Tlaib sent them a letter and said, well, can I come on humanitarian grounds to visit my grandma who's in her 90s and I won't say anything bad about Israel while I'm there? And Israel said, yeah. Yeah, if all you're going to do is come and see your grandma, you can come and see your grandma. And then it was obviously a ploy by her just to keep her name and her Israeli hate in the news for a few more hours, because after Israel said, yeah, you can come visit your grandma if you're not going to bash us while you're here. And then Tlaib sent out another tweet and said, I will not be silenced and I'm not going to come if you're going to put a muzzle on me. So anyway, Donald Trump on Friday night sent out one of the funniest tweets I've ever seen when he tweeted, Representative Tlaib wrote a letter to Israeli officials desperately wanting to visit her grandmother. Permission was quickly granted, whereupon Tlaib obnoxiously turned the approval down, a complete setup. The only real winner here is Tlaib's grandmother. She doesn't have to see her now. That's just a great tweet. Okay, there was a bunch of other Trump. Trump talked to the media. And look, I think tweets like that are hilarious. And then there's some stuff from Trump where I just think he's bat bleep crazy. And one of them would be, he was talking about the crowds in New Hampshire. And I guess there were some left-wing media sites. That's redundant. There were some media sites, and they showed pictures of empty seats. And it is so bizarre that Donald Trump, he's the president of the United States, and that he is so obsessed with crowd sizes. And so he spent a minute talking about how fake those photos were. And this is just all very odd.
I don't believe it. Every place I go, we have lines outside. Then we have even phony stuff with that. You guys were in New Hampshire. Maggie was there. You saw that room was packed. And they had thousands of people outside. And then I see some phony website, some wise guys put up. That place was packed. And the New York Times actually saw that. And actually, there was a massive flag behind. And even the seats behind the flag where you had no view.
even the seats behind the flag where you had no view. This is just.
I don't think you're being fair to this because they asked him. He didn't bring it up.
I know.
They brought it up. So he's defending.
I know, but it's so insecure. And I get it. Look.
What's he supposed to say, though? No comment.
And I get it. If you are under constant attack by a magnitude of 100 more than any president in our history, you get tired of it, but it's still just weird.
Because those people came down to be on the floor. But all of the people, any empty seat, you had the people come down to be on the floor because they were so far away. Plus, you had a big flag. Look, we had, I think they said 17,000 people outside that couldn't get in. The fire marshals closed it at a certain level. The arena announced, I don't know the people at the arena, that I broke Elton John's record. And then I have fake news.
You broke Elton John's record. It's just, it just seems to me to be an amazing level of insecurity for somebody who's achieved the most powerful position in the world. But I do understand that he just feels like it's him against the media world. And nobody has undergone. Yeah, I'll give you an example. He just donated his second quarter salary of $100,000. Presidents make $400,000. He donated his second quarter salary to the Attorney General office. And he's done that for every single second that he's been president. He said that he would donate his salary to various government agencies, and he's given it to fighting drugs and alcohol. He's given it to border security. He's given just every quarter, a different government agency gets $100,000 donation. Does that get any publicity? Do any of the people who spend every second hating on him, and you know, a lot of people are asking me, well, you didn't vote for him last time. Are you going to vote for him in 2020? I don't know yet. Lots going to happen between now and a year from November. I'm not going to vote for any of the Democrats. I know that. I have no idea if I'm going to vote for Trump. And then people say, what's changed? You didn't vote for him because of the Access Hollywood thing. A ton has changed. But I'll go into that in depth, you know, when we talk more about that. Okay, I got a bunch of other audio from the weekend that I got to get to. So let me take a real quick time out. We'll keep cruising through the weekend in politics and elsewhere as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. So what else happened in the big political world this weekend? We were on the air Friday when the medical examiner back in New York ruled that Jeffrey Epstein's death was a suicide. The pedophile who was connected to some of the most powerful people in the world. And I don't know anybody who believes it was a suicide. You know, the conspiracy theorists believe that it's just another addition to the Arkanside list of people who mysteriously died who were connected to the Clintons. This is weird, though. I've got a weird soundbite for you. So in 2015, long before he was president, when Donald Trump was a candidate, he was doing a town hall. And somebody, the moderator, I think it was Hannity, asked him about Bill Clinton, just, you know, kind of a stream of consciousness thing. What do you think about Bill Clinton? Listen to the one thing that Trump in 2015 said when Bill Clinton's name came up.
Okay, let me mention some names to you and just get a quick response. Bill Clinton.
Nice guy. Got a lot of problems coming up, in my opinion, with the famous island with Jeffrey Epstein. A lot of problems.
The island, Pedophile Island, is what it was nicknamed, with Jeffrey Epstein. And Trump said Clinton's got a lot of problems. And we now know that Bill Clinton had 27 trips on Epstein's private jet that was supposedly outfitted with underage girls that had been turned out for sex. But that was the one thing that Trump said about Bill Clinton in 2015. Okay, what else we got here? I've got Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren this morning. There's a lot of annoying stuff from Elizabeth Warren over the weekend. We found out the reason she's running for president is because she has been called by God to do so.
Never in a million years did I think I would end up running for office. First for the United States, from Massachusetts, and now for president of the United States. But the reason I do is I have been called to act.
Wow. I didn't know that she was God's pick. And then this morning, she went before a Native American group, the fake American Indian who lied on her job forms so that she could get the benefits of being a part of that minority group. And now this morning, she's apologizing again to Native Americans.
Anyone who's being honest with themselves.
I'm going to have to play this. I have an earlier out time than I thought. I'll play this right after the news for you as the Dory Monson Show rolls up.